The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I have lots of amoebas and bacteria swimming up in me.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Joining us for the final hour, KSHB 41 Chief Meteorologist. It is Mick Schaefer here with us in the zone.
We're having a grammar discussion in the break. Here.
As of Friday? Chief Meteorologist tomorrow or Friday? When do you take over? Because Gary's taking over for you.
That's right. Thursday's his last day. It's going to be me on Friday.
Okay. Thursday's his last day as a meteorologist. Last night was his first day as the sports director.
He did a third of the sportscast.
Sounds
he didn't
want
anything
great.
In the prompter. He just wanted to ad-lib about Chris Jones and how he's going to be the difference on Sunday. He's finally going to sack Joe Burrow this time, and that's what's going to give the Chiefs the win.
I did like how he was correct in the Chiefs being flexed because the Broncos suck. He did get that. He didn't nail that one where the Chiefs have been flexed out. It showed you just how bad the Broncos are. That is correct. The Chiefs are flexed out because, how about that? They flexed out of Sunday Night Football, Patrick Mahomes versus Russell Wilson, Chiefs and Broncos.
It's so bad over there.
How bad is it?
That the Broncos can even spoil Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
It's like a great actor, a bad actor spoiling a good movie. Tobey Maguire spoiling Spider-Man.
Whoa!
Worst casting decision ever.
I really thought you were going to go with another Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, yes, we could go there.
We should go there so you can have a good opinion. Instead of that bad one you just said, by accident, I assume?
Tobey Maguire. How many Spider-Men have there been in cinema history?
Yeah. Three in modern.
Three modern. He is in fifth place among those three. He's in fifth place.
Are multiple movies Spider-Men or are multiple movies Spider-Mans?
This sounds like a couple of guys who have not watched the newest Spider-Man movie, where a lot of these questions are answered by context, essentially.
Oh, really?
I've seen it.
Well, you didn't enjoy his performance in the most recent time that he was on the screen?
You know
what?
He actually smiled in that one, and he's a little more, he's more of a veteran actor now.
You know what? And are you tainted by Spider-Man 3? Because that one I would understand.
When he's a bit player, then fine. He's just fine in this type of movie. But when he's the lead, and I mean, don't get me started on Kirsten Dunst. How long do we have?
Actually,
oh my God.
You know what? Shot clock reviews. I'll be looking forward to the Kirsten Dunst, Tobey Maguire matchup.
I guess I'm going to have to do my 24 seconds also on Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire, ideally right after Mick, so I can just say the opposite of whatever Mick wants
the
to say about those two.
Peter Parker MJ combo out there.
Well,
I'm not going to weigh in on that in my 24 seconds. I will not do that.
Huh?
I'll talk about something.
It's almost like, and I tweeted this last night, the Broncos spoiling Patrick Mahomes is like putting ketchup on steak. It's like the one thing that can ruin steak.
That's better. Yeah,
which is like a callback to what Patrick
Mahomes
likes.
It's good. Russell Wilson is the ketchup to Patrick Mahomes' steak.
He's also the Tobey Maguire to Patrick Mahomes Spider-Man.
No, he's the ketchup to Patrick Mahomes' steak because, one, most of us look at that and go, ew, but Patrick Mahomes looks at that and says, I think I will consume that fully in mere moments, which is what he's done against the Broncos.
So does that make
career.
Nathaniel Hackett Kirsten Dunst?
I think so.
I don't even know what that means, but no.
The Broncos are Danny DeVito to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What are you doing here, Mick?
Oh, my goodness.
He's the worst cast member. You have to agree with that. He was forced upon that show.
I mean, the show isn't even made without him.
Really? Was he a producer on it?
I wish someone would offer me an egg in this trying time.
Weren't they trying to get it made and nobody would do it? And then Danny DeVito like caught on to it and was like, no, let's get this thing done.
But I have to be in it.
Yeah. Probably, yes. I thought that was how the Danny DeVito...
Hey, you know what?
I could be wrong about that, but I've always been under the impression that It's Always Sunny was trying to get made in different places, and it was Danny DeVito that ultimately got it past
the finish
line. Of the
five actors in that
show,
he's the 20th best.
I figured it out.
It is the opposite of Charlie. It is the opposite of Charlie.
I have the analogy. It's that Russell Wilson is the Mick Schaefer of Sunday Night Football, because this has been your worst segment ever.
No.
No, it has. Are
there
you
has got to be a
There's
couple
so many bad
people
segments.
Out. Yeah, it's
did
true.
You listen Friday? We mailed that whole show in.
Did you listen the 2 months you were off?
No, I didn't. I mean, why would I?
That's true.
I mean, if KU had lost to Wisconsin, I didn't even have a show Friday. They win, I got a show Friday.
You did 4 hours of, thanks for trying, Zach Clements.
That thing was as mailed in as a Friday has ever been mailed in. Mick and I spent a half hour talking about Mill Valley and Lee Summit North and just hanging out, just shooting the breeze, as they do deserve that. They were playing for the state championship. But it's not typically something we would talk about on a Friday leading into Chiefs on Sunday and KU, K-State, Mizzou, Arkansas. There were a lot of things to really get into the nuts and bolts and break things down. And we kind of just sat here and hung out and then watched the England-U.S. match the first half in the 1 o'clock hour.
That sounds great.
So that's what Mick and I did on Friday.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, this is already better
than that. Thanks, Bobby Pettiford.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is not a problem from Friday's show. The problem today's show is that Mick showed up and started just saying the biggest nonsense he could think of.
Boys.
You know what?
Unbelievable.
It's because you don't want to hear it. That's the problem. It's because you've never faced reality. You believe this deep down, but you don't want to have to look in the mirror and with it.
Did I hit two nerves and chords of like you're a big DeVito fan?
You know what they say? Big, you know what they say down south, Mick? Hit dog hollers.
Yeah, that's it.
And that guy got hit.
Mick just showed up and went, you know, I really enjoyed the Beatles, except for all that John Lennon stuff. Because Tobey Maguire is the John Lennon of actors.
No,
you
here
heard
we
me.
Go. The Broncos are Yoko Ono. They ruined it.
That was fine. That was fine. Okay. Yeah,
ruined it.
No, it's on that one.
They ruined it.
We found it. We've
Patrick Mahomes, the Beatles.
The real problem with all of this, no matter what your actual opinions are about the sides we've taken, none of the things we've said are as bad as the Broncos. The Broncos are still the worst. The Broncos are a horse's head in your bed. Like, that's bad.
And honestly, I feel like we're being unfair to the other 52 guys on the roster outside of Russell Wilson, because he, as of 3 months ago, was a marquee quarterback. The biggest trade of the offseason in the past several years. And this was the huge storyline. And we're pairing him with Patrick Mahomes? Oh, my goodness. This is...
Yeah. It's an obvious Sunday Night Football matchup.
Can't be beat.
It's an obvious Sunday Night Football matchup. Maybe there was a reason the Seahawks didn't let Russ cook. Did you see the pictures on Thanksgiving about letting Russ cook? That the Wilson household let Russ cook, and it was like a piece of bread with like SpaghettiOs on it. They let Russ cook Thanksgiving. Boy, he has just gotten, for 12 weeks, he has been the joke of the NFL.
All right, so I need to mention this because this was circling today. I think it started with a report from Mike Kliss, who tweeted that...
Name Mike Kliss.
Michaelis. He tweeted that Ciara threw a birthday party for Russell Wilson
and didn't invite him.
And probably that too.
Party. It's the lowest blow.
He said that about half. It looked like about half the team showed up. Now my reaction to this was very different than Twitter's reaction to this. Where are you guys at? Before I give you any more information, about half the team showing up to Russell Wilson for the
party. That's fine. Whatever. It's the offense, I guess, right?
Well, also, is he going to be friends to invite to a birthday 53 guys and, you know, practice squad guys? Yeah. Like, the entire office.
Sure, Twitter overreacted to it.
The entire office here, wasn't it Stephen St. John's 50th birthday party? But, people may have had stuff to do. You've got other things going on.
I wasn't invited. Way to twist that knife.
Well, I wasn't there either. I'm just saying, but I get along just fine with Stephen.
In case Steven's listening, I don't think you're the Russell Wilson of 8'10". Just so Steven knows that, because it sounds like that's what Jason's saying.
Maybe the rest of the team was worried they don't have enough bathrooms in the house.
That was the problem.
I'm not going to go there and wait in line at a bathroom. They only have 12.
I think you guys
minimum
are right,
14
though.
Bathroom.
I think that's about a +4 EPA expected partiers added. Like I would have said, 20-ish. You feel pretty good about you're the quarterback. You should get the offensive line and the pass catchers. I want to know how many defenders showed up.
I'm willing to bet not all 52 other guys showed up to Patrick Mahomes' birthday party.
Right.
Back in September.
I think if you get invited, I bet he'd be at like a +30 EPA because you're getting lot of the team.
I do wonder if this year was skewed a little because after the Chargers game, Mahomes did make that party about Jalen Watson, which meant that now you've got all the young rookies, you've got the defensive guys. So now it's Mahomes and Jalen Watson party at Mahomes' house. So that might be skewed.
I bet he did invite everybody.
Russell Wilson or Mahomes?
No, Mahomes. And I bet everybody.
It was probably just an open invite if you can make it. But other guys have families. Like, oh, we can't get a babysitter this night. Or we've got other things to do. Or, oh, hey, we're going over to my wife's family. Or I've got this going on. Not going to make it. Happy birthday, man. Wish I was there. I mean, That happens all the time. People get invited to Absolutely. Weddings and can't make it to weddings.
Absolutely. You know. I'm anticipating that none of you three will actually be there for my wedding. I expect a lengthy...
I don't even want an invite because I don't want to feel obligated to give you a gift.
I'll be there in a hoodie, don't worry.
Yeah, don't
That's
even,
fine. That's okay, Beards. You have
even,
my permission
don't
for
even
that.
Send me
I'll be
an
there
invite.
In a hoodie and nothing else. If you invite me, I honor invitations.
This is a win-win.
I swear to God, even if Patrick Mahomes would have invited me, I would have even showed up at that party.
I don't know. I got stuff to do. What about if Russell Wilson invited you?
I don't know. I would have to check out that house. Yeah. His roommate as well.
Well, hold on. Sierra invited me, not Russell. It was just, I don't
That's
care.
A good point.
The party is immaterial. Who it's for. It's hanging out at Sierra's house. Well, Russell lives here too. Sierra's roommate is also here. And she's throwing a party for her roommate.
Russell might be a good dude. I think he's kind of weird and hasn't played great football or even bad football status this year.
I think he's corny. I think he's a clown. I think he's a poser. But he's probably a nice enough fella, you know. Doesn't seem to be somebody that's going around robbing banks and kicking puppies for no reason. Seems nice enough.
I tweeted my expected partiers added thing and also just, I want to know how many defenders showed up. And then from Parkus Meters on Twitter tweeted, defense are the only teammates that have showed up all year.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
So maybe that's why about half the team was there, because the offense, much like the season, just didn't show up.
Who was the defensive lineman that was barking at Russell Wilson? Purcell?
Mike Purcell.
Yeah. Purcell. Was Purcell there? That's what I want to know.
No chance.
Was he there?
No shot.
But God, that is an amazing line. Defense are the only teammates that have shown up anyway all year long. All that to bring up the Chiefs.
Sure wasn't
the
like, do we know it was the Broncos team they're talking about? Wasn't like half the Panthers that showed up? Like, hey, thanks, man.
Brian Burns really is there. It's just, hey, how you doing, man? Did any Seahawks show up randomly? Just fly into town for that?
It's weird that Richard Sherman was there just to heckle.
I doubt that.
He was just there to heckle. He was just standing in the corner going, this party sucks! I wish I was at home!
Oh, hey, look! Turns out Russell Wilson's getting all the glory, but Sierra did all the work. Boy, that sounds familiar to... Hey, Sierra, no, I feel you. I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Wasn't there another teammate that was kind of... former teammate that was kind of trashing him over the offseason this year?
I think Golden Tate was tweeting about him.
Lynch and Richard Sherman.
What I'm imagining is just Richard Sherman and Golden Tate being the Statler and Waldorf just in the balcony just the entire time, and it would be excellent.
If they would have Twitch-streamed that... I think Cam Chancellor, that feels right. I assume all the defensive backs. Sure. I assume that the Legion of Boom is not a fan. I don't know if that's fair or not.
Because the Legion of Boom was like, oh, the defense was really good too, but Russell Wilson was amazing, and they had a good defense.
Did Marshawn say something?
I don't think so. Has Marshawn?
No, Marshawn just, was on the podcast with Richard Sherman.
Right. Marshawn is pissed about not getting the ball.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think Richard Sherman is pissed about the defense not getting credit for how good they were. And the offense and Russell and even maybe a little bit Marshawn getting credit. Marshawn's just never going to let it go that he did not get to carry the football.
And
on that
he
down.
Doesn't like that he has to reach out to Russell's assistant to get a hold of him.
That is true as well.
Manager or whatever.
Which is that real? I missed that one.
It was on the podcast.
So it was Richard, So they're like, and they both, it was like an inside joke because it was early in the season when he was struggling and Marshawn's like, man, I'd love to reach out to him. And Richard Sherman just smiles like, you got his manager's number. Reach out to the manager.
Dude, crazy.
No, man. Yeah.
Which kind of goes to the whole, the friends.
No, that's
how close
a weird
you
one.
Are. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one's strange. Imagine, I bet Isaiah Pacheco had Patrick Mahomes' phone number, direct phone number, moments after being drafted.
No, he's
probably
a third rounder higher.
There's a cutoff for sure. But Marshawn Lynch should have been on the right side
of
that.
Lower than a third rounder. You got to make at least $700,000 this year.
Nathaniel Hackett has a press conference going on right now, by the way. Nick Cosmiter of the Athletic tweeted out here. Nathaniel Hackett.
Is that the same guy that.
This is a new addition to the mix here.
Okay.
Nathaniel Hackett, when asked about an NFL Network report that Wilson has lost some in the locker room, quote, to me, it's all gossip. We have a fantastic locker room. I've never seen somebody work that hard and try to embrace a team like he has, unquote, which is what it is, by the way. We can circle back on that. Okay. I just think that quote is so funny because he ends it with, I've never seen somebody work that hard and try to embrace a team like he has. He does not say that this team has embraced him back.
No. I've never seen somebody work that hard. Why do you have to work that hard to be the...
High knees, baby! High knees!
Pass! Come on, everybody, pass!
Chemistry! Team chemistry!
Pass the cake!
You know what
he's
had to work that hard because people are like, yeah, I don't know that I like this guy.
Right.
You know, the Seahawks have reached out and we're excited he's here because we are going to win and we might win the West this year and we finally got a quarterback, but... I'm not sure that I like this guy. He's going to have to work harder to be able to earn my trust and my respect. I don't know.
Mick, following up on an earlier story, because I said unquote in the Sports Center, and you said, is it unquote or end quote? And when you asked that, I suddenly, my eyes were opened to a potential that I had never even considered, because end quote makes a lot of sense. You start Googling it, there are people asking if it's on quote.
It's not on quote.
We knew it wasn't that.
No, it's. I always said it was quote unquote.
That's what I've said, and that the internet says the standard expression is quote unquote.
Okay.
But I think end quote actually makes more sense.
The internet, I'm reading it right here, says quote, it's quote unquote, unquote.
All right, well, that solves it.
Is there an end quote at the end?
It says, quote, it's not end quote, unquote.
Yeah.
I don't know where the confusion is.
What if it said, quote, it's not end quote, end quote.
Unquote.
Unquote.
Unquote. And then it's in quotes.
He said, to that end, quote, this has been a really weird segment, unquote.
Okay, you said unquote. As a standard in telegrams, end quote came first, but was, I lost the, but it was swept away by the more popular later usage of unquote. So maybe it started as end quote with telegrams.
So end quote is in like, I'm done with the telegram. Over. You're talking a...
Why don't we just say over again? That seems Roger, copy. We just get more walkie-talkie terminology into our day-to-day lives.
Well, if we ever are in different positions where we're doing the show and there's a delay, then it may be one of those to where, you know, what I heard from Chris Jones when he said, Burrow's a good quarterback, you're not going to get me to say anything that's like bulletin board material against him. I'm reading too much into that. That Chris Jones doesn't exactly have the highest regard for how he felt Burrow played and beat them, that he doesn't really think that it's Burrow is the reason why they lost that game. Over.
Copy that, Jason. And I mean, I think it's another example of the Chiefs really circling this game on the schedule. Over.
I could see that. Over.
Copy that, Anderson.
Mick?
Is this bit over?
Over.
In unquote.
Over. You got to say it.
Over.
Over
what? Is it over what? Is it over the moon? is it over the hill? What is it over? All right. So 913-912-4810. That is actually something that I am reading too much into.
I think the Chiefs
is that Chris Jones quote unquote of him saying, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Joe Burrow.
I think the Chiefs are going to win this game by scoring a touchdown and a field goal, but they're going to give up two safeties. 10-4.
I'm so mad I'm smiling.
Mark that, beard!
So mad.
Mark that and put that in my tombstone!
I am so, here lies Josh. Quote, I'm so mad I'm smiling at that, unquote.
It's beautiful.
10-4. Good, buddy. All right. So anyway, Mick, did you hear my reading way too much into the Chris Jones? Do we have that clip somewhere? Can we hear it? Can we run it back? And has Curtis cut that?
You know, probably scooped that one.
You know, to hear Chris Jones, what he actually said, so I'm not just trying to quote unquote what Chris Jones said and get it wrong, paraphrase.
He does single quote, I think, the phrase all world. So if you got it in there, Beards, great. If not, I can come try to fiddle around and see if it's if it's in there somewhere.
Okay. Well, it's
it is worth it.
Can you yell to Curtis to see if he's cut the Chris Jones and why is Joe Burrow so tough to sack? Why is he tough to bring down?
He's not for other teams.
Well, also the Chiefs had like 5 sacks against them the first time, you know, in Cincinnati, you know, just a few weeks earlier. It just is. Sometimes those things happen. Sometimes you're in another team's movie. And last year, the Chiefs were in like chapter 15 of the Bengals book. That's what they were.
Isn't it 35 and 35? The Chiefs have had 35 sacks this year and the Bengals have given up 35.
They've been better as of late. I know the first 5 games, I was looking at this the other night, in just how well Burrow's been playing as of late.
They were not good the first couple weeks there.
Joe Burrow in the first 5 games of the season was getting sacked 3.6 times per game, and in the last 6 games, it's down to 2.5. So he's still getting sacked, you know, 2.5 times a game, but it's a full sack per game. In the last 6 games, less than it was at the beginning of the season when they were just getting torched.
Those first two, it was 7 and then 6. Pittsburgh and Dallas.
So he was getting torched in that. And by the way, these last 6 games, he's over 71% with a quarterback rating over 112 and has 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's been playing good football and 300 yards per game.
That math checks out in there. It was 3.6 or what, 3.5?
3.6 down to 2.5
in that, like, the Chiefs are averaging 3.1 sacks per game, so kind of right in the middle there. So their numbers are at least very similar
on the sack side, and they will be the same, right? If they're both at 35, they'll both be equal after this game.
Last year, Joe Burrow was sacked an average of 3.18 times per game.
Well,
3.1's continue.
Maybe if another quarterback comes in.
But that would still go against the Bengals giving up sacks. Yeah. Let's hear from Chris Jones. He was asked, why is Joe Burrow somebody that seems to be a tougher guy to sack?
Chris, is there anything about Joe Burrow that makes him difficult to bring down?
He's a good quarterback, man. I don't know what you guys want me to give you, all world. I'm not going to give y'all all of that. He's a good quarterback, man. He's a good quarterback.
What's all world mean?
He's not saying he's all world
or anything. He's a good quarterback. I don't know what you want me to tell you. He's not all world or whatever. I don't know what you want me to tell you. He's a good quarterback. And my reading too much into it was Chris Jones essentially like, I'm not going to go out here and say all these things about, you know, Joe Burrow's this and Joe Burrow's that, and you're not going to get me to say anything even bad about him, because the guy that walked off the field wearing the 9 jersey for the Bengals ain't the reason we lost.
Yes. I don't think you're reading too much into that.
I'm not going to say it because I'm not trying to give bulletin board to the Bengals about me saying number 9 didn't beat us, we beat ourselves.
Even if he's confident in being able to get to him, but respects him at the same time, he's going to say something like, you know what, he moves well in the pocket, you know, a lot of times, absolutely. You know, you got to wrap up because he's always keeping his feet moving. Something like that, to that effect.
He's a good standard. Like, I don't know what you want him to tell you.
If you watch that game last year, Joe Burrow's like the 11th reason down the list that the Chiefs lost that game.
Again, in the second half alone, they dropped an interception. Nick Bolton should have had it. And he'll tell you as much. I'm not just speaking for
Nick
Bolton.
He brought it up the Chargers game. He got his first one, right? And then another one the Rams, yeah.
So that should have been an interception. Chris Jones, the very next play was the 3rd and 7 when he's wrapping Joe Burrow up, and then Burrow escapes to the middle and then runs away from Chris Jones, and then Ben Neiman is stuck in the middle of, do I stay and guard Samaje Perine, or do I run after Joe Burrow, who then pitches it to Perine, and they get a first down anyway? It's a tough position for Ben Neiman to be in, so that wasn't on him at all, and he picks up the first down. 3 plays later, on 3rd down, Melvin Ingram has a shot at Joe Burrow, who runs right up the middle away from Ingram and picks up like 13 yards, another first down. In the 3rd quarter earlier, Chris Jones has Joe Burrow on 2nd down and 10, wrapped up, going to bring him down. Burrow escapes, gets away, runs to his right, finds Ja'Marr Chase for 23 yards. They kick a field goal on that drive. Those are two different scoring drives that would have ended with sacks, along with the drive that ended with an interception from Joe Burrow to Legarius Sneed when he actually did throw an interception. So if I'm the Chiefs defense, I'm looking at it and saying, if we just sacked Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon did nothing until overtime. Then he had those two runs where it kind of felt like the Chiefs defense was like, oh, well we're done. They're in field goal range. They're in field goal range already. You know, once they completed the pass to T. Higgins for a first down, I think it was their second first down. And then Joe Mixon has two runs for like, you know, 18, 19 yards, and at that point they kicked the field goal. I think the second one was kind of toast anyway. But Mixon didn't do anything. The running game didn't do anything. Ja'Marr Chase wasn't amazing in the game. He had the touchdown on Rashad Fenton when they went to him back-to-back times at the goal line for a jump pass or a back shoulder to Ja'Marr Chase. Chase had the 23-yarder. That should have been a sack. You know. So I think the defense comes out of that game going, how in the hell did we lose that game? One, we know the offense didn't do what they needed to do, but we didn't get off the field nearly enough times when we were one play or an inch here or there away from getting off the field. I don't think this team looks at it and goes, wow, number 9's out there. You just got to tip your cap.
And look, they were on the field a lot that second half. 5 plays, Chiefs offense, second half. 5 plays, 2 plays, 3 plays, 3 plays. And then finally that 14-play drive that got him the game-tying field goal. But, I mean, you're getting thrown back on the field a couple minutes after you left it.
The stat that I'll continue to bring up the next couple of days, and this goes into Patrick Mahomes asked about, you know, what you see on the film and when what you got to work on or change, and he said that not a ton. What was different in that game? And he goes, not a ton from the first half to the second half. Watching it on film, they played a little bit more man in second half, and even Andy Reid saying, the last game, he goes, they kind of did the same stuff the second half that they did in the first half, and so much focus about dropping eight, bringing three, dropping eight. That whole second half, right? All they did against the Chiefs was do that. Well, you know, I went back and rewatched the game last night, and it was kind of therapeutic to do that. It's the first time I've rewatched the Chiefs and Bengals game, and
to know that you're not just bringing up all these random plays.
No,
from a year ago.
Okay. No, I'm not. No, because it's fresh from last night. My recollection was that the entire second half they dropped eight. That it was just what they were doing, and they were bringing three and dropping eight, and Hubbard was just a spy. So then I went back and watched, and just specifically seeing what the Bengals were doing defensively, and the Chiefs in the second half and overtime, 34 plays. You know how many times the Bengals dropped eight out of the 34 plays the Chiefs ran? How many times the Bengals dropped eight and only brought
17? I'll go half.
Okay,
that's what I said. That's about half.
They did it 10 times. So only a third of the time, but what I found to be fascinating.
That was 34 plays or 34 dropbacks?
34 plays total. So okay. 34 plays total, because you don't know if they're going to, you know, run it or pass it sometimes with the Chiefs. If they're in shotgun, they can hand it off. They can do RPOs. But Hubbard dropping. So 34 plays, they brought three guys and dropped eight only 10 times. What was really fascinating is that eight of those 10 were on second down.
As you say,
first and third down.
It wasn't third down.
They weren't doing it. Okay. Twice on third down, they only brought three guys and dropped eight. Only twice in the game did they do that in the second half on third down. The Chiefs ran 12 second down plays in the second half. So if you follow me there, eight of the 12, the Bengals dropped back.
Well, I mean, how many were second and five? How many were a penalty second and 15? Whatever.
There were only...
Oh, he's covered this. He's got this.
Yeah, there were only three plays that were shorter than 4 yards. So there was a second and three, a second and two, and a second and one. Two of those three, they brought 4 or 5. So when you're seeing second and four, second and six, second and six, second and six, second and 10, second and six, second and five, second and six, second and four, the Bengals are dropping eight. They don't think you're going to run. And guess what? Pass, 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 pass. Second and two run. Second and one run. Pass, pass. They didn't. They challenged the Chiefs. Second and fourth or longer, you're not going to run on us. So we're just going to drop eight. That's going to be our defense. You take the snap, we're dropping eight. And if you run on us, you're going to pick up a lot of yards. But we don't think you're going to do it. And they never adjusted. They didn't ever switch up and go, hey, you realize every second down they're dropping eight. You realize, and by the way, they did that in the first half. They dropped eight in the first half. They did that two, three, four, five times. So they did it more in the second half. But it's not like they went from, wow, we've never seen this look of them only bringing three. And then they did it the entire second half. They did it five times in the first half total, 10 times in the second half total. They were daring the Chiefs on second down and fourth or longer to run it. And guess what the Chiefs really don't do on second down? Run the ball. They don't. They run the ball on first down to start a drive.
And even then, way less often than neutral situations would indicate. That's absolutely been true as long as Andy Reid's been here. I saw another graph of that this week.
I like that tendency because 99% of the teams and the coaches out there, if you throw on first down and you throw it incomplete.
Or it's a run. Yeah.
Second down, we're running.
Second
here's
and
inside
run.
Zone and we're going to pick up two and here's third and eight.
Yep. I totally agree. And so I'm completely fine with that. It's just in that game, one, the Bengals sniffed it out and dared them. And two, even on those plays, Mahomes didn't exactly play well. Like it wasn't like...
Almost like he played concussed?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe he had money on the Bengals. I don't know.
There's just some hits in that first half.
Yeah, I know. All the
people bring up. All the theories. I didn't believe at the time, but like every game since then, and then you consider every game before that, especially in the playoffs leading up, like, okay, that conspiracy theory is like holding a little more water now because it was just an out-of-body experience for him for those 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you think he was having an out-of-body experience? Do you think he got Freaky Friday with Zach Wilson at halftime?
No, I think it's more concussion. Okay, I think those are more off, more common.
More common in the NFL.
Yeah. Bad.
Yeah. Mm. I think some of it also was maybe a little greedy in the reads because the interception that he threw, watching it again, I think, one, it was an RPO, but I think it was an RPO that everybody else read run. Because Creed Humphrey was 5 yards down the field. He was not going, let me just stalk block here for a little bit. It was, snap the ball, I'm getting out because there's nobody here. The read is run. Hand it to McKinnon. We just picked up 7 yards on first down at second and three. They are showing that they're dropping eight. Snap the ball. Creed gets 5 yards down the field. Wiley is 4 yards down the field, still going down. And Brown is 3 yards down the field, heading in that direction when Mahomes then throws the ball. They never look back. They don't know it's a pass. They're thinking it's a run because probably everybody on the field read run except Mahomes going, bleep this, I'm going to pass it to DeMarcus Robinson.
Well, and that's,
so I think there was some greed, or maybe he was concussed. There's DeMarcus Robinson over there. I got to get him the ball.
Exonerate to Andy Reid from this, the guy who's been at the helm for what?
Absolutely.
Three of the top seven biggest playoff game collapses in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think this is,
in it.
This is one where the Chiefs are going into the game thinking they did so much self-inflicted damage the last time they played. And that's why they ended up losing. Not, we're going up against a
like
team
a
that's
better
that
team.
Than us. We're going up against a team that's better than us.
They self-inflict a lot of wounds.
they do. They shoot themselves in the foot. Stop doing it. Shoot elsewhere. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Shot Clock Reviews next.
And Sad Fans.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what?
I told you it's done.
I'm so stupid. That's right. It's a short Sad
it's
Fans,
short
not
sad
a tall
fans.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of Sad Fans that are shorter. We will do Sad Fans and Shot Clock Reviews next.
I'd be sad about short.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
The more dead puppies there are in the world, the more that's going to dilute the cuteness of the puppies that we have right now. Less puppies means more cute, okay? They said it in Incredibles.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, Beards, Mick Schaefer. It's KSHB 41 Sports Director. That's what he is. Shot Clock Reviews, then Sad Fans, then Shot Clock Reviews.
Let's do Sad Fans first.
Sad Fans and then Shot Clock Reviews about Sad Fans?
That work, Beards? Yeah, we could review Sad Fans. That one I just know we can't change the time of because it's already there.
It's already in the can.
It's a good point. So we should do that first, and
that's
we can adjust
that's
yes.
right.
the Shot Clock Reviews
maybe we get a 12-second shot clock this week. Who's to say?
Ooh, okay. That's a reset. That's if you get an offensive rebound, that's a reset
that's
shot
right.
clock. You're not going to go all the way to 24.
Yeah. Maybe the four of us share a 24
It's 20
second
in college,
today.
Right? 30 to 20 when you get
I
the offensive rebound.
I say we go
rebound.
Back to like the 1980s in college. 45 seconds.
Let's do it. Man, let's. I really want to get this take out there. 45 seconds is still not enough time. I'm still 1/8 of the way from. Sorry, 1/20
the
way.
The Bud Lathrop shot clock review.
Darn right. Just
no
four
shot
corners.
Clock.
Just get in the corners, man. All right, passing game. All right, let's go. This is a shorter Sad Fans. These are Rams or?
Yep, just Rams fans.
Okay, shorter Sad Fans, Ram fans from
Reddit. Sad Rams on Reddit.
Sad Rams fans.
Sad Rams on Fedit.
Let's hear it.
And now, a very small list of things that LA Rams fans said on Reddit.
Micro Sad Fans.
We gonna die. Thought that flag was gonna be for the McVay hit. Maybe concussed McVay will call all the good plays, LOL. I thought I smelled 3 points. What was I thinking? This offense needs to start with better field position than the opponent's 40. Raheem Morris, the defensive genius, leaving Kelce wide open. What pisses me off more than this team this season is watching Patrick Mahomes' stupid-ass waddle of a walk. Hardest Ram hits are against themselves. Who got burned more, Marcus Peters or Ramsey? Will the Rams score points in this game? Serious question. They bent and broke and bent over. Any new fans want to know what it was like to watch the Jeff Fisher era? It honestly might have been a little better than this. Does McVay call anything other than a third and long draw? What the f*** did they do at practice last week? Anybody who even suggests that Perkins could be the future of this team should be slapped hard. 4th and 30 to win the game. McVay calls a draw. It blows my mind that we have gotten to the point where I see 13-3 and I think, yeah, offense ain't coming back on that. So when are we trading for Zach Wilson? Why do we have a running back playing quarterback? LMAO, there goes that. Perkins sucks after all. Comment. guys, I'm starting to think that we might not win the Super Bowl this year. Reply, I just want to win another game this season. I mean, technically it could have been worse. The greatest loss today was McVay's perfect jawline now being at risk. The road to the 2023 last place schedule marches on. And now, the winner of things that Rams fans said on Reddit. This team is ass. I love it.
That's great.
All right.
Beards, it was shorter than we expected, but still good enough.
Sometimes short, but sweet.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes, you know, really awesome things come in small packages.
Really tiny packages sometimes.
We gon' die.
We gon' die. That's my favorite.
We gon' die. The greatest loss was McVay's jawline.
Perfect jawline.
Honestly, man, the broadcast was so worried about it that it was
It was
honestly concerning. I tweeted during the game that I wish anybody cared about me as much as the broadcast cared about Sean McVay's face. And one of my dear friends tweeted and said, "If you had Sean McVay's face, I'd care more."
That's a good point.
And that's the only thing I've been able to think of since then. So thanks, Darren.
Who was the player? How did he not know that he just tuned up his coach?
He wasn't looking. He was putting his helmet.
Hit him
right. He was putting his helmet on, and the guy hit his shoulder, but he was still running out. He didn't know it was McVay.
Your car's hit a bug recently, I'm sure too. I mean.
Yeah. Didn't realize. That's a good point. Sean McVay's face hit an NFL player's shoulder pads while he was running by.
Yeah.
That player may not know that he got hit.
NFL players, I think, have to be like calibrated to not register anything less than like a concussive level blow.
That's exactly right. I mean, he hit and he just continues running out there on the field, not going to look back. If he knew it was McVay, I bet he would have stopped.
Where was
around.
The get back coach?
The get back coach?
There was the get back coach.
To tell McVay to get back.
He's like, damn, I thought I only employed at the start of the game to the end of the game. And wow. Get you back beforehand.
That's ridiculous. All right, so shot clock reviews now?
Yeah, let's do it, baby.
All right, let's shot clock review. By the way, Argentina and Poland are tied at zero. Messi had a penalty kick blocked.
Whoa.
Yeah,
yeah, it was messy.
Sucks for those that have Messi as an anytime scorer and a first goal scorer. That's not fun. But also Mexico and
KSA.
Saudi Arabia is.
Kingdom. Throwing us off there. You know, is that what it is?
Country of Saudi Arabia. KSA. Country. Saudi Arabia. All right. Shot clock reviews. Josh, you go ahead and lead us off.
I'd love to. And I mentioned this briefly in Fact or Fiction, but I need to give a full review on this because I'm also not sure where Mick's going to follow me on this side of history. I would like to review everybody who takes their full-size carry-on that definitely is just a suitcase onto the plane as a carry-on. Listen, we're all flying Southwest here. They give you two bags. This is not something that you have to downsize for. And yes, it's going to take you, God, I don't know, 3 to 4 minutes to wait at the baggage claim for them to bring you your bag that they put underneath you in the plane, out of sight, out of mind. They do all of the shipping and handling for you. All it takes for you to free up a bunch of space for the rest of us is that you give us 5 minutes of your patience while this miracle of flight takes your luggage away from you. For a couple of hours, just check your bags. If you don't, you get a 2 out of 10.
What if they already had their allotment of bags checked and they didn't want to pay the $50 to then check the next one?
And
get better at packing, I guess.
Baggage gets lost sometimes.
It's not going to get lost in the overhead. You know what? Not going to lose.
You know what? I'm going to lose my respect for you.
Side on that one.
It's too. There's a size of carry-on that's acceptable.
Well, that's literally a size of carry-on.
If you can only get the door above your head closed by just a centimeter of extra space, you could have checked it.
Sounds like it fits.
You could have checked it.
Sounds like it fits.
It fits, and now no one else's luggage does.
Oh, I bet there's plenty of other space there.
It's big luggage, man. They know the dimensions. They know the width, the height, and everything.
Yes.
They push it, man. They go an inch farther on each side, each
I'm
up and
it.
Down,
Done.
Each sideways.
Check a bag. Fine.
You give them a luggage compartment, they'll take an inch.
I will say, on Southwest, check it back.
Check
Absolutely.
It back.
Other stuff, I don't want to pay $35.
This is Southwest exclusive for now. I will consider making this about all airlines if I have one more sort of unnerving and frustrating experience.
Okay.
Sorry it happened to you.
Thank you.
Is that a question mark? Thank you.
No, I meant it. It was authentic.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. It happened to me.
Mick, what's I forgot we're passing the ball on this one. Yeah, sorry, I'm out of practice.
All right, so I would like to review my harrowing attempt at correctly pronouncing the name of last night's Simone Award winner on the news. All right, so the head coach assured me that his name was D-Rock Tafok. And immediately I broke out into hives, and I thought, this is not only going to be Gary's last week, but my last week on air. I've been nervous in TV in 20 years, but I was. I got on air, and I got out D-Rock Tafok with Kevin and Dia laughing like hyenas behind the camera at me. And then I went and met him that night to get some interview with him. Say, how do I say your name? He goes, Harold Tafak. I'm like, what? What? What?
Tafak. I mean, Tafak is still close, though.
I worked all day on that. I walked that plank. I walked that plank.
Jason, stop repeating it. I'm nervous.
Yes. I want it to rock. Rock. I want to rock.
Squad.
Gary was actually going to do the entire sports cast, but I'm like, well, I'm not going to try to say that name.
What's it was Gary his last day. He should
happen. He gets fired.
So,
first and last sports cast.
Also, I'll fill in the story. D-Rock, born in Cameroon, family moved over, and a lot of times they take on kind of Americanized names to assimilate, and so he chose Harold. But all his football buddies and his coaches are like, D-Rock is an awesome name.
Yeah,
you gotta
great.
Go by D-Rock. So he kind of goes by both, officially D-Rock, and then it's T-S-A-F-A-C-K, and it's Tafak, apparently. And I might still be getting it right, but I think that's what he said to me afterward, and that's how I said it on the 10 o'clock news, which is much easier to say, and he is an awesome kid. He won the Bell Award, which goes to the best lineman linebacker in the small schools. He goes to Center High School, is a beast, and 4.3 GPA, speaks four languages, and was a wrestler. He's a lot of things going for him, so cool to meet him, although it was almost my last day in TV yesterday.
So you could say he's somebody that is
not
tough fact with.
That's exactly what I'd say.
Yeah. I was going to say congratulations. Sounds like an incredible human being.
Well, second reference after the name was always D-Rock.
Because that's awesome.
The rest of the story.
That's awesome and not going to get you in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah. That last D-Rock. Name is...
Sounds great. Who's next?
Jason.
All right!
I was looking at beards.
I am going to review, just finished it last night. I'm going to only have like 20 minutes left. I'm going to review Pepsi, Where's My Jet?
Yeah, I told you to
Netflix.
Watch that.
Mick told me to watch this, so I won't watch it. Remember the Pepsi Challenge back in the day? It was Coke. Is it Pepsi? The Cola Wars. And then Pepsi had, if you collect enough points, you can win all these cool things. Well, on the commercial, they put Harrier Jet for 7 million points. Turns out, they did not put a disclaimer. So a kid went and collected the points, found out you could actually purchase them. $700,000 got you the 7 million points. And Pepsi said no, and it's a four-part documentary. Can I get an offensive rebound real quick?
I'd love to get him aboard.
It's a four-part documentary about the battle with Pepsi in court with this kid and the lawyers, one of them being Michael Avenatti, which was a complete and total thing out of left field that happens in episode 3. Sorry, Mick, spoiler there.
The first two episodes.
But the whole thing is him about trying to and telling Pepsi, no. You made an offer, 7 million. Everything in the commercial is something you can actually get for the points.
It's a
except
crazy
for the Harrier
story.
Jet.
Because they looked up, first of all, they were like, they had to ask
it's
the
fun.
Pentagon, can you own a Harrier jet? Can you own your own fighter jet? And they said, technically you can if you don't have all the bombs and the missiles. And
no
the
missiles
on
and no.
Sure.
You can own
and
it.
And the Harrier jet was at that time like $32 million.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see this huge
huge
I remember
fight.
The Pepsi stuff. I remember
so
like the duffel bag and somebody had the jacket.
It's a great campaign. You drink more of our stuff. And then you get to wear our branded stuff around. It's an amazing campaign. It's just... they didn't put
a
disclaimer
line
that it was, that turns out they started changing the commercials after that, which was kind of admitting that
I
the first
this.
One was a mistake. It was good. I liked it. I give it an 8. Beards.
I was going to talk about the Chiefs getting flexed out of Sunday Night Football. So as somebody that has had to run, what is it, 5 Sunday night or like primetime games this year, and they keep getting flexed to where we have to stay late in doing this. This is a godsend. I don't want to have to be here with Josh until 1:30 or 2 in the morning again. So I'm good with that. I know it's going to happen in the playoffs, but give us all the saving grace that we can. Yes. This is great. It's excellent for me. It's like an 11 out of 10.
Andy Reid liked it as well.
I think every single person around here probably is really happy that that game's not on Sunday Night Football now.
Not the KSHB sales department.
That's what true.
But the KSHB 41 sports director, perfectly fine with it.
I mean,
as a team, he's a good
teammate. No, I want us to make lots of
money.
What
did Gary think?
That's right.
Yeah, that's a great question.
We'll find out next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
This is going to be so stupid, but here we go.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, thank you, Mick. Appreciate it. Great stuff, man.
Anytime.
Really good stuff.
As Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
And from 1 to maybe 2, hours.
Yeah.
That one Sports or Leisure you filled in for Josh.
Yes. Appreciate that.
It's awesome.
I heard you had beef with Patrick Mahome Depot.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Because his name is not Mahome.
Yeah, it's just a game that we play for fun.
Well, and just the store's not called Homes Depot.
No, you're right.
Yeah, I like to play games. By the rules, that's how I like to play games.
If I was trying to give you a fighter jet for 7 million points, we could take this to court, but I don't have anything to defend quite that much for Patrick Mahome Depot.
Nice. The best part about it, though, Josh, I know you didn't listen because why would you? I didn't either. Mick was just giving hints all willy-nilly and, oh, no, what if I told you he
fell into the everybody wins trap.
Sucked right in.
It's different in here.
Sucked right into the,
What?
I want you to win, sir. You're so close. Here, try your guess for the sixth time. Oh, let's make it 7.